The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We welcome you back, and it's great to have all of you here for one more hour, and let's try to make up some time on calls. I know some of you have been patient. Skip is up next. Hey, Skip.
Paul, how you doing?
We are doing really well. Thank you.
I got a couple of questions dealing with Gamecock basketball.
Okay.
And the first one would be, with the job that Dawn Staley has done with the women, is it possible or feasible for riding on her coattails to re-engineer the North-South doubleheader, which North Carolina and South Carolina schools in the old ACC used to play, that would get a South Carolina and North Carolina matchup and a Clemson NC State matchup if they follow the same format? And I think that Dawn would really open that area up, because Charlotte Sabam of Gamecock enthusiasm ready to explode. They just got to have the reason for it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. I would think it is possible, and I can, even though I do live there, I don't know the what it would take. I don't know enough about the politics, but I think in basketball, people are far more open to doing things like that because the consequences are fairly minimal.
Right.
But I will. Next time I talk to either her or someone connected, I will see if we can get you an answer on that.
That North-South doubleheader used to sell out back in the John Roach days and Tom Owens, and I can remember being there, and people from University of North Carolina cheering for Tom Owens, who was South Carolina's center during the fights that they had in the 70s. And just the Carolina Cougar fans got behind Owens, even though he was a Gamecock. But because that's where their loyalties lie. And my second question, let me slow down a little bit.
Sure.
What is going on with what Carolina's doing to Frank Martin? Do you have any insight?
I probably don't know a whole lot more than you do. It doesn't seem like there is an appetite for change. I know what the board said the other day, but it would be an expensive buyout. And I think he has a good enough...
2 years.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he has long. Let's put it that way.
Oh, he's the winningest coach in their history. He's taking them to the Final Four.
Yeah, I know that, but I think next year will set the table is what I'm trying to say. I think because he is so well liked in that. I think. Let me ask you this: if you take the Final Four out of the equation, would he still be there today?
My question back to you, and I'm part Irish, would be, what was McGuire's record when you took McGuire?
No, I agree. By the way, I would not make a change. I like him immensely, and I think he's capable of doing really good things, and I don't think he's ever really missed by much. I think you do have to forget this year.
Has he been sick?
I don't know. I have not heard that.
He went through some physical changes.
Well, I know he went through COVID twice, I believe. I don't know any more about COVID than the next person, but going through it once would be pretty terrible. Going through it twice, and I know he had a hard time with one of the two. I can't remember which one it was. But, hey, thank you for the call. We'll see if we can get you some answers. We'll see if we get Frank on, too, because I really like him a lot. Let's check out Mike, who is in Ohio. Hey, Mike.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
I am doing great.
Good. I have a question about Professor Paul Feinbaum.
Okay.
And that is, supposing the University of Alabama president was in a meeting, and the president comes out and the president's secretary says, you have two calls on hold. One is from Professor Paul Feinbaum, who is the chairman of the political science department.
You know me well.
Since I know you're a political science guy.
Right.
The other call on hold is from Nick Saban. So the question then becomes, which call does the president take first?
Let me add two more names to that, okay, just to make it fun.
All right.
Joe Biden and Queen Elizabeth, and he's still going to take Nick Saban.
I would say there's a good chance of that. And so, I mean, my guess is...
By the way, I like that game. We used to sit around the old newspaper office when I was there and would play that game, like, you know, exactly, who... Because back in the day, and this is 35 years ago, you would call somebody and you'd have to sit there. You didn't have cell phones, so your position would determine whether someone would call you back or not.
Okay.
I like the game.
My guess is that the president would say, hello, coach.
Yes.
First of all.
What can I do for you, sir?
Yes. And the reason I'm asking the question is because I think 2 days ago you had a call from some athlete, some guys who they're my age. I'm 72.
Mm-hmm.
And so I graduated from college in 1971, and so these fellas, I believe, played in the 50s and 60s.
Sure.
And they were having some difficulty understanding the current attitudes towards transfer portal and name, image, and likeness, that sort of stuff. And I understand that for people of my age, I'm pretty close to those guys, that's a big change from sports when I was in school. And I was not an athlete, just a fan. But I think it's important to remember that the game is, and sports is, it's different now. And whether that's right or wrong, fair or unfair, is I really can't answer that. But I also think it's important to remember the golden rule, and the golden rule that I'm referring to is the person with the gold makes the rules. And right now, the sports programs are the ones that run the show, and that's just the way it is, and it's all about money, and I also wanted just to see what you think about that as well.
Yeah, I'm a few years younger than you, so I clearly understand where you're coming from. And I don't know if I would have understood the other side of it until I came to work here, where I found myself with a lot of younger former athletes, as well as being able to walk in a locker room and talk to the young players of today, and in a more casual setting than perhaps I would have. And there are such distinctly different views. And I found myself in the last 4 or 5 years, maybe a little longer, tilting from my previous stance, which would have agreed more with you, to the other side, primarily because I've heard them talk about this, and their attitudes and perspectives are far different than I would have been familiar with many years ago.
Okay.
And you know, sometimes you are I hate to use the cliche, a prisoner of the moment, but the athletes of today don't view the university with the degree of loyalty that they did back when we were in school.
Right. Well, when I was in college, I remember hearing that the head football coach could not be, at that time at least, could not be paid more than the highest paid professor. Now, whether or not that was true, I can't really.
I think there's some truth to that.
I heard that, and it's a different world now, and it's a business, and so I guess I just sort of accept that.
No, it is, and you have to. Mike, thanks for the call. Really enjoyed it. We're heading to a break. We have a guest waiting. More to come. Cecil Hurd right around the corner. With no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts and an app that lets you bank anytime, anywhere, choosing Capital One is like the easiest decision in the history of decisions. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Capital One N.A. Member FDIC.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here, and our next guest needs no introduction. He is Cecil Hurd, who is I think, the longest regular contributor to this program. Now, this call marking his 80th year on the Feinbaum Show. Cecil, great to have you back on the show. Great to have you back from Indiana, unless you decided to move there and vote. You were there long enough.
I was plenty of time in Indianapolis. They did a great job of being hospitable. I know Alabama would like to have extended their stay by a couple of days, but didn't play well enough. And you know, got to make some free throws, got to make some plays. I think Nick Cronin showed what kind of coach he is in the next round as well. And they've got players. You know, Juzang is a player. Tyler Campbell is a player. So they're not bereft of talent now. They're going to have a challenge on Saturday, and there's no question about that.
Well, let me get to the story. A lot of things we wanted to talk to you about, but I just read your column a few minutes ago, and I fully understand what you were saying, but you understand as well the Twitter sphere is going bonkers over some of the things that were in your tweet before the link to the column, as if the University of North Carolina had already sent the jet to pick up Nate Oates. Can you? Before people get the wrong idea, can you explain what's going on?
I don't think that. First of all, I don't know what the thinking is at North Carolina, who may very well stay in out with their hire, with Hubert Davis, who's been Roy's longtime assistant. They may very well go for a former player or a former coach at another school. I don't know what they're doing. I see the other side of that, Paul, and you'll understand. Someday, maybe this year, maybe 5 years from now, don't have any idea, but Nick Saban's going to retire. And when he does, that doesn't mean that anybody out there has to take the job. But unless you have an Ohio State or maybe a Notre Dame, you've got to listen to what Alabama has to say. And you're not just going to unilaterally say, I don't want the Alabama football job, or I don't want the North Carolina basketball job without at least, if they show interest, without at least hearing them out, because those opportunities are rare, Paul, and it'll be the same way. The same Alabama fan who think, oh, Nate shouldn't, you know, he should hang up the phone if North Carolina calls, would think that anybody would crawl to Tuscaloosa to replace Nick Saban. And some people might do that, and some people wouldn't. But if you just pass on that opportunity out of hand, don't know when it's going to come around again.
Which brings me to the question about Nate Oates' contract. And we all read the comments a few weeks ago, but I mean, is he signed and sealed and delivered, or what?
Yes, sir. The board has approved that contract.
Okay.
So it is a contract. There's no wiggle room in that. And his buyout is $12.5 million, and I don't know of any situation where anybody has paid that kind of buyout. My understanding, Chris Beard was hired at Texas today, and that his was about $4 million, which is plenty, but it's not 12.5. So that would be a factor. Now, as I wrote, if North Carolina is dead set, then they can, you know, go through the car seats and Michael Jordan's Bentley and find 12.5 million.
They can.
You know, they can raise it if that's how they want to spend and what they want to do. Just as Alabama could do that for Nick Saban. You know, it's not ever going to be a financial situation. But sometimes people don't want to leave. It's like Nick didn't want to leave for Texas, and people are happy where they are. But if you look at schools that have won national championships under multiple coaches, that's a pretty rare situation. And Alabama football's done it, and North Carolina basketball's obviously done it.
Yeah, I mean, anyone listening certainly understands the stature of North Carolina basketball. And, I mean, Roy Williams has won three championships, and quite frankly, he doesn't seem like he's really met the expectations.
Well, yeah, that's a unique situation because you've got the other guy 10 miles away.
Right, exactly.
And so that's – every situation's unique, but that's a unique situation. But at the same time, Dean won a few and Roy's won a few, and you can do it there. I can't imagine anybody ranking the top five jobs in college basketball and not having North Carolina in there.
No, it's pretty special. Let me ask you about a couple other things, and we didn't get a chance to talk about this, and it didn't get it was handled from a distance very well. And sometimes when you get in front of a story, it's the only way to do it. And I'm speaking of Jay Graham. He was at Alabama, and then he left. Mm-hmm. The school issued a statement said he was seeking help. I'm not looking to turn this into TMZ, but I am interested in some backstory in relation to the timing of it.
Well, it wasn't, as Nick Saban said, it wasn't the best timing, but Jay Graham in his statement indicated it may have been something, you know, that it's been a stressful year. I understand that with COVID and so forth. It's been a situation that perhaps had arisen at Tennessee, and he thought maybe a change of venue would help him. But ultimately, you know, whatever it was, and I certainly don't know, and I'm not here to speculate that he had this problem or that problem or diagnosed somebody who says that they're seeking help. You know, for personal issue, but I think it's possible that they came, you know, they've been something he'd been struggling with, and he thought maybe different structure at Alabama and different surroundings, and that would help. And apparently, it didn't help. So, it was. As Nick Saban said, not the best timing in the world, but sometimes it's better to let somebody move on, deal what they have to deal with, and worry about a replacement after the spring.
Otherwise, and I realize it's still fairly early and you are just reacclimating yourself to the 205, but what are you picking up or hearing in relation to Bama football?
Well, they scrimmage tomorrow, and so that'll be a hotbed of speculation. People will be watching the quarterback. They'll be watching the receivers to see who steps forward, because it's kind of almost an open tryout for the guys that they signed in the last 2 years. John Metchie's a proven commodity, but he's not really going through spring practice. So be an opportunity for those guys we used to at least get some statistics, such as they were. I don't know that we'll get that this time around. It's hard to judge if you don't see it. The only one that we'll see will be A-Day. So there's a lot of rebuilding to be done. You don't have what was arguably the best offense ever and come back the next year with the best offense ever, unless you do a remarkable job of rebuilding and acclimating a young quarterback into it. Now, again, Nick has his perception and others have their perception. They are, the cupboard is not bare. Let's not think that that's the case. But you do have to work guys in. They have to have experience. There are four wide receivers gone to the NFL in the first round over the last 2 years, and I don't know that there are four NFL wide receivers on the roster right now. So that changes things. But at the same time, they've got an offensive line to rebuild. They've got plenty of running backs. They've got probably better defensive talent, although Coach Saban talks about reevaluating what great defense really is. But he's constantly recruiting towards what he thinks you need to do. He accepts that next year there's going to be a game like the Florida game this past season where you got to put more points on the board. There's going to be a game like the Ole Miss game where you just got to put more points on the board. So will they be in the preseason top four? Yeah, definitely. Will they be number one? Maybe, maybe not. Probably be Clemson, be in there pretty well. Maybe Oklahoma with Spencer Rattler. So, but they'll have a chance. They'll have a chance to get back to the college football playoff, I think.
Cecil Hurt joining us, and we will continue to follow all of this, including the tail numbers on the UNC plane. Cecil, thank you very much. Great to have you back.
That would be interesting. Sure. Yeah, and again, it's a compliment to be on a list of coaches like that. And Nate, I listed all kind of reasons why Nate might not want to go, but all I said was you've got to listen, because those opportunities don't come along every day.
Indeed. Appreciate it very, very much. Cecil Hurt joining us.
Thanks a lot.
Look forward to seeing you soon. Cecil Hurt joining us, and we will take a break. 30 minutes to go, and your phone line has not changed. 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We welcome you back. Final 30 minutes, and I tell you what, I was about to go to a call, but I want to review a couple of things here, because we're getting so many calls about what happened with the Supreme Court. There is confusion about the NIL. Even in talking to Rick Haro, he described the Alston case yesterday about being the NIL. They're not. Ryan Smith, who is the ESPN legal analyst, was on Spain and Company yesterday and talked about the two sides of the argument with the NCAA and the athletes.
If you're on the player side, you're looking at this and saying, hey, you're trying to violate antitrust laws by setting up this scheme of competition and bailing it under this idea of amateurism, and we think that should go away. Or you're setting up a situation on the NCAA side of a slippery slope. Hey, we decide to pay players on certain expenses now. Well, if you're going to pay them $5,000 for an internship and say that's okay, what if people think $20,000 is okay? Well, we see more lawsuits, and then they'll say $50,000 is okay. So a lot of that was breaking down in the court today. That's what they were really trying to hit on and question about to try to sharpen whatever their opinion will be.
Ryan was also asked about the Supreme Court case not being necessarily decided along political lines.
Across ideological lines. A lot of times you'll see in the Supreme Court, I've watched a bunch of arguments, a lot of times you'll see people say, well, conservative justices, as we term them, might ask these kinds of questions in favor of something, and maybe liberal justices ask something else. In this case, you had Clarence Thomas, Justice Thomas, questioning the NCAA as to why college coach pay isn't restricted as player pay is. You had Justice Kavanaugh talking about why he was concerned that schools were conspiring to deny athletes salaries by hiding behind antitrust laws. You had Elena Kagan, who is considered to be a more liberal justice, talking about the talk of amateurism being high-minded and sort of really pushing back on the NCAA's argument that, hey, we've had this system in place for a long time to protect amateurism. And then you had a conservative justice worrying about whether Neil Gorsuch talking about is this an agreement between competitors to fix prices? So all of them, I should say maybe about six or seven of them, were really pushing the NCAA on this issue of, hey, you say it should stay the way it is. Why?
Meanwhile, what is the NCAA most concerned about in all this?
There. But if you're coming from the NCAA on this, you're saying, whoa, this is going to blow the doors wide open. Now you could pay somebody a ton of money for a paid internship, or you could end up paying every Division I athlete. They talked about this a lot in the case. Every Division I athlete, something like $5,900 just for playing. They're worried about things like that, taking it on this. If we start in one place, it could be a lot more, and that's the way we see it, and that's the way we see the lower court's ruling.
And finally, the need to separate this case from NIL.
So what's really key here is to separate this out from all the name, image, and likeness thing that we see going on across the country. It's a different issue. This is about whether the NCAA can cap education-related expenses and benefits for college athletes, things like paid internships, payments for academic achievements, scholarships, stuff like that, if capping that violates antitrust laws. So they went back and forth on that for over an hour and a half today, which tells you how interested these justices are in this issue.
Let's get back to the calls, 855-242-7285. Roger is in Alabama. Hey, Roger.
Hey, I think I fit several of your boxes today. My wife is from South Carolina. She had COVID. I'm originally from Georgia, born and raised. Live in Alabama now, and just worked in Mississippi today. My son,
You've
he was a
all.
College athlete. Sir?
I said you are hitting all the boxes.
Yeah, my son, he was a college athlete, and I deal with medical insurance and blessed assurance. I'm a minister as well.
Now, if you had added you host a talk show on ESPN, I was going to jump out of my chair. But keep going.
Well, actually, I did do radio after 12 years in the military and working at a church. And in high school, I ran a 4.340.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm covering
a 4.340? I mean, you're
yes,
in a, did you do anything with that speed other than run?
I chased girls and caught them.
I like the sound of that. For people who don't know, 4.3 is NFL quality.
Yeah. So the coaches, they didn't believe it. But I called today because I get a chance to hear you from time to time. And you mentioned a nickname for the state of Alabama. And I think I came up with one or two interesting ones. The first
sure.
one would be the Iron Bowl. It would be the Iron Bowl state. That would be my first one. What do you think about that?
I mean, it certainly is name grabbing, and I think people would adhere to it. So yeah, I like that one.
Okay, and the second one would be the automobile state, and the reason I say that is, in one part of the state you got Nissan or Hyundai, in the other part of the state you got Mercedes Benz in Birmingham. And I think there's a third automobile conglomerate here.
Isn't there a Honda plant?
There's a Hyundai plant in Montgomery, right?
No, Montgomery. And now again, I haven't lived in Alabama in nearly 8 years, but I vaguely remember a Honda plant somewhere near Anniston, but I could be mistaken on that.
It could be, but I just remember that one. And I just left Canton, Mississippi, and of course in Canton, we have Nissan, so
right.
All over the South, but particularly in Alabama, it's the automobile state. So I just wanted to add some levity to it, and I wanted to send prayers out also to the guy in California. My heart really goes out to him.
Thank you very, very much. You be well. Call again. That was a fantastic call. I vaguely remember the Honda plant being somewhere near Lincoln or Talladega. I don't want to push my memory on being an Alabamian too much. Let's continue. And David is up next. Hey, David. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Listen, I haven't followed the Supreme Court issue, but I have heard a lot of people calling this show and other talk radio shows and just expressing the general view that college athletes need to be paid or they're pawns as part of a big money-making business. My son is a scholarship football player at an SEC school. I won't tell you which one, but first of all, just in case people know, those scholarships are now 4-year commitments. They're not like 1 year, year to year like they used to be. Number two, the players do get a stipend, a cost of attendance. And according to the IRS, last year, the value of my son's football scholarship was about $65,000. I don't know too many college students who make $65,000 for going to school and spending 20, 30 hours a week doing a sport that they love. So my personal view is that there's a lot of value, tangible and intangible, in being a scholarship athlete. I'm not sure what the real drive or the push for more cash is all about. It seems pretty generous to me. Plus, there's all the clothes they get, you know, the intangible value of a scholarship.
Hey, let me ask you, how does your son feel about the issue?
You know, we've never really talked about it. I've never really thought about it until I've been listening to talk radio the last few days. But I mean, we get a form from the IRS every year that, and I will say,
you still there,
you can
David?
Probably figure out which SEC school he does not go to.
Yeah, I think I can.
But that's I don't know too many 18, 19-year-olds who are going to school full-time and earning $65,000 a year.
No, I don't know any, and I know a lot of people, and I can remember how long it took me to even come close to that. It was long into my career. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much. We still have a couple of minutes to go. Thanks, David. Fascinating insight there. You want to give us a final call, you can do so now. The phone number is 855-242-7285. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.